This is the Gwinnett County Public Library podcast. I am Steve Thomas, the branch manager of our Buford Sugar Hill branch.
And I am Caleb Nichols, a PSL at Duluth.
And we are here with a group of staff who attended the American Library Association Midwinter Conference back in January. And we're all going to talk about what sessions everyone attended and what we learned, what we brought back, and what we've kind of been able to implement if we have already things or things that we want to implement that we learned at the conference. So we're going to get started here with Don.
Hi, I'm Don Giacomini. I work in youth services. I attended the ALSC Mini Institute. ALSC is the Librarian Services for Children. So it was a day-long session. I went to several sessions, several keynote speakers, including Carmen Agrididi, who speaks a lot at schools in the area, and she's a marvelous speaker, an amazing storyteller. I suggest everybody get a chance. Go see her. She's awesome. But the coolest thing I saw all day was a session put on by the Houston Public Library. Houston is, by area, I think the biggest metropolitan area in the country. It's huge. It encompasses a diverse number of populations, lots of different speakers. But the way their public library system is meeting the needs of their city is they have built a fleet of outreach vehicles. So they have a number of vans. They have a coach bus that they converted into an outreach vehicle. They ripped out all the seats and they put in a dozen computer stations so they can drive around, roll up to schools or wherever they need it, and do coding programs, technology programs, all kinds of stuff. They did a really interesting summer program where they went out into the community, did a story time, brought iPads, and signed people up for summer reading, I believe. They would do two different visits. And they recruited high school and college students to volunteer for this. So it was really very interesting. But what I really liked about it is that it's a devoted outreach service. All the librarians, that's their full-time job. And then they have a menu of programs. So they had about 55 programs they offer. And you can go on the Houston Public website, go to the outreach page and request a certain program. So if you have need for a Lego program, you could say, I need a Lego program on Thursday, April the 17th at 4 o'clock, just like our Book a Librarian service. And then someone from the library will get back to you and say, yes, we can do that. And then the van or whatever vehicle they need with the librarians will come out and put on the program. So they have a nice menu that the public can just go through that makes it easy for them to understand what it is that they offer, and then an easy online form that they can fill out to get people out. So this is something I would love to work towards in this system, as far as making a menu that's publicly available for everyone, so people who are proactive can go on the website, choose what they want, get us out there, and be easy and convenient. But I was really very impressed by the Houston Public Library.
Did they discuss how demand was and how many people were using the services, like using the menu?
Yeah, from what I understood, it is high demand. So they are busy all the time. I don't think they have days where they have downtime. I think more of their problem is having to turn down or having to work with groups to reschedule for a time that works for them, because I think it has been extremely successful. And because of the size of Houston, I think it's been really successful in getting into pockets of the city where library resources weren't being taken advantage of. So they've had, I think, a lot of success integrating themselves into the community because they've been so accessible outside of the library.
And do they have a dedicated team that just does this, or is it stuff that do they work part-time on this and part-time in branches?
They have a dedicated team who goes out and does all of these programs. And then the woman who I think has been integral in coordinating all of this, she wears many hats, as far as I understand. So she is an administrator, but she helps coordinate and make sure everything's running smoothly. But then the people who actually do it are dedicated outreach librarians.
I am Heather Smith. I am a library associate at Hamilton Mill. And I would like to talk about the session I went to that was most interesting to me was called Libraries Ready to Code. It was about a program that is set up by Google, and it's basically a ready-made setup class that you can give to students to teach them how to code and how to program. And their emphasis was really on how computer science and STEM are not the same thing, how they're interrelated, but they are separate. So it's important to offer computer science programming as well as STEM programming as well. And it's called CSFirst.com. And the way that it's set up, there are different clubs, and they each have varying degrees of difficulty. And you have a host who would be the main teacher. And then you have people who are called gurus, and they're kind of your assistant teachers. And then you have the club members, and those would be the people who are taking the class, who are going through the exercises. And the way that it's set up is there are 8 sessions, and each session is about an hour and 15 minutes. So it is quite time intensive. It does take a long time. But they will actually give you a fully scripted document that tells you exactly what to say the whole time if you would like it. So that's very nice. So you don't have to be, you know, a coding genius to lead these sessions, but it does give you a script and lets you know the kinds of progression that you should move through as you go through those sessions. And you would typically want to have no more than 20 students or club members, and each person would need to have their own computer and their own headphones. And this is just a really good program if you would like to lead coding programs at the library for children. But it's also a great way for staff to get some coding training. I know a lot of people would like to lead coding programs, but maybe they don't feel comfortable with coding, or maybe they don't have a lot of experience with it. So it would also just be a really good resource for staff to go through if they'd like to familiarize themselves with Scratch, because that's the coding program that CS First goes along with. You use Scratch to learn some basic programming and coding.
And we had some other staff that attended that. Did you guys have anything that you wanted to add to that?
Oh, I thought one cool thing was that children or students could miss a session because they also have access to it from home. So if they couldn't come to the library to attend the session, they could also do that part of the program at home. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that was a really cool feature because they'll each make an account. It's like a student Google account. So they could log in from home and do those sessions that they missed.
Yeah, so these could be done on Chromebooks as well then?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's completely web-based.
And similar to the summer reading program, they do digital badges. So it's something that the kids can get excited about, that they can finish a class and get a badge.
Something else that they did mention is as far as staffing, so you won't feel stressed about having so many staff members for doing a task like this. They did mention that they can we can all think about using volunteers to assist with something like this, and maybe we would have one of our staff members be the teacher or the host of the actual club or program, and maybe use your volunteers for your assistants or your
gurus.
Yes, so that's something to think about too.
We do a program at the Lawrenceville branch with Central Gwinnett High School where their computer science kids and one of the teachers comes in and they do Hour of Code from code.org. But maybe this is something that we can use in addition to that, or maybe geared towards older kids, possibly.
Yeah, at Hamilton Mill, we've got some coding programs planned for the summer, and we are planning to try this out. We've done the Hour of Code as well. I think we've mostly done only staff-led programs, but that's a really great idea to team up with local students who may be able to help as well.
I think it does work best with older. I know they did mention that younger than fourth grade might have a hard time with the reading and vocabulary that's part of the session.
Yeah, and it moves rather quickly. There's some videos and then some reading and then exercises, so yeah, that's an important thing to point out.
Okay, so we'll do an edit point right there. So, Amy, we want to go back to Amy.
I talked with Houston.
Okay.
And basically just introduce yourself and then talk about whatever you want to talk about for an
Okay. I am Amy Billings. I'm the Youth Services Manager. And I went to the ALSC pre-conference day. ALSC is the Association for Library Service to Children. And this is a great conference for anybody who works with children because all of the sessions deal with programming or collection development or things for kids. I attended three sessions, and the first one was about outreach to children in hospitals or other kinds of medical situations. This was a outreach librarian from the Boston Public Library, and she reached out to families who had children in the hospital for long periods of time. She would go in, and I think one of the most important things she did was she got these people library cards so that they could download materials and use them in the hospital. She also did story times for some of the children who were really sick, and she talked about some special information about how you go about doing that. But I think the thing that I took away from that particular session was not necessarily that this was something that Gwinnett County needed to run out and do, but to look outside of the box for those people who could benefit from our services but are prevented from getting here in some physical capacity. It was also interesting that the Boston Public Library system, which is a very large library system, only had one professional for outreach to children. Wow. So she was wearing a lot of hats. This particular initiative was fairly time-consuming, but it was still considered important because it was reaching an underserved population. And one of the things that was kind of interesting about that, too, was she gave every child a book, which she kind of, under the table, said she sort of pinched from their summer reading supplies. But those books had to be brand new, and there was all sorts of requirements that they had to go through in order to give these children books because of their special circumstances. But again, giving a child a book and telling people who can't get to your facility what you can do for them were the two big takeaways from that session. Don has already talked about the Houston Public Library's outreach event. That was an excellent session as well. We also got to talk to some vendors that deal with children's services, and we went to a session on summer reading program. And had lots of good ideas. I'd say that Gwinnett is in the forefront of what most people are doing for summer reading program. I think we can be pretty proud of our programs here. The big thing that people are all talking about now is giving books as prizes, which we're already on board with, and reframing them so they're called summer learning experiences rather than summer reading experiences. And that's basically so that you can tie in with the school system a little bit more closely and be seen as an educational partner. And I think we do that anyway. A little quick rebranding of some of our items takes care of that. And the new Beanstack software explicitly addresses those learning tracks. So very good information from ALSC.
Hello, my name's Michelle Grice. I'm the Division Director for Materials Management here at Gwinnett County Public Library. My opportunity to attend ALA Midwinter was a very welcome one since I have come back from Gwinnett Technical College to be in this department. I spent a lot of time on the exhibit floor talking with our vendors, the vendors that we currently use and other vendors that we will possibly use in the future. Ingram is one of our vendors. We talked a lot about our service contract and agreement and what type of things that they can do for us. I also spoke with Baker and Taylor about our new lease book collection that will be coming up soon, and also other things that we might have an opportunity to do business with them. So that was pretty much a lot of my time. I also spent some time in collection development workshops and meetings, which were very helpful to hear what other library systems around the country are doing.
Good afternoon. My name is Yesenia Gutierrez, and I am the Early Education Library Associate at the Centerville Branch. And
I'm Catherine Russell, and I'm a Library Associate at the Hamilton Mill Branch.
And today we will be talking about one of the most interesting sessions that we attended while being at the ALA Midwinter. It was Towards a Less Normative Future in Library Services to Children and Teens. really interested me about this particular session was that they talked about making sure that we have cultural diversity in our books that we not only have in our collection, but the books that we use for our programming. It talked about the importance of not only displaying African-American authors, famous African-American titles, or even biographies of African-Americans during Black History Month, but also having it towards all throughout the year. It talked about one of the things to have in mind is the community that we are serving. Make sure that we use books that, of course, have different characters within the books that are either Hispanic or Latino, African Americans, Caucasian, Middle Eastern, whichever race is the one that we are serving our community. One of the other things that they talked about briefly was asking yourself before questions to ask yourself prior to using the books for programming as well as purchasing the books for the collection. One of the questions to ask ourselves is who wrote this book? The other one was who wrote this review, if we are going by reviews, to make sure that we are going by reliable review sources. And one of the ones that they highly recommended was School Library Journal. They mentioned that that was a good reliable source for us to be looking at once we are purchasing the books for our collection. And one other thing that they also talked about was asking ourselves, are there any hashtag own voices creators. So,
she also talked about a lot about reviewing and encouraged us to be reviewers and to be to challenge ourselves to be critical of things, to decenter the whiteness, and making sure that we're actually reviewing it based on the culture instead of just our own opinions. And as far as collection goes, to make sure that we're not weeding books that fulfill gaps. Don't weed it just because it's not circulating if it fulfills a need in your community. And then with displays, she recommended that we be deliberate and specific in our displays. One example she gave of that was a Native American display she had, and she had cards with the author's tribe on there as well, so people could see what was actually represented in our collection. And if you guys are interested, she did give us our her blog website. It's www.fatgirlreading.com.
And another good program she had was actually a read-in where she would actually just have books with African-American characters in the books for students or anybody just to come in and read. They'd just be in a reading section, and that's this. They'd come and read for an hour from these books.
And she tied other programs in with that, too, like music and movement, and then she also had bilingual story times as well.
So my name is Wanda Luttrell. I'm a library associate at the Buford Sugar Hill Branch, and the session I'm talking about today is the 2017 Best Fiction for Young Adult nominations, where they had 30 teens come in and talk about what they thought of some of the books that were on the nomination list. There was 121 books on the nomination list, and they had the teens just go through page by page, and if they wanted to come up and talk about a certain book, they could come up and talk about the book. The teens are very brutally honest about what they think about the books. Some of the books that they were talked about I have actually read, and they were definitely more brutal with the books than I had thought about being. One thing that they really were looking for is for the books to be realistic and relatable. I mean, it doesn't matter what the genre is, you know, space, fantasy. As long as they can relate to characters, they don't care about the setting. And they are very knowledgeable about, you know, if it's unrealistic, if they don't see it in their real life. I know several of the comments were books that dealt with autism, and if they were not realistic on what living with autism is like, they really were not happy with the book. The book nominations, it ended up coming with the 10 recommendations, the 10 best books. Only 5 of them were actually talked about by the teens. The other ones were not talked about by teens. And the book that was most talked about with the teens didn't even get on the list. And that one was the one they were most passionate about, which was very interesting.
I was really surprised about that. And if you guys are interested in that title, it's Three Dark Crowns by Kindar Blake, which they were very passionate about that one. More than 4 people got up to talk about that one.
What was it about? I can read this to you. Every generation, royal triplets are born. Each possesses a power and must kill the others to claim the crown. Mirabella can raise storms and summon fire. Catherine's and Arsinoe's powers are weak, but these sisters have been raised to rule. No one is going down without a fight.
Some of them liked it, some of it didn't, and a lot of it was that it could be a good book. It was a prologue of a book. It wasn't actually a real book. I actually had read this one, and I actually agreed with a lot of what they said, but they were very brutal with it. So.
Was it the first part of a trilogy or something?
It is the first part of a trilogy, yes.
I was really excited that the session was super packed. Like, there was no seating room. Like, we sat on the floor, and it was, like, spilling out into the hallway. So I was kind of proud that librarians really cared about what teens thought about the books that are on their list.
I'm sorry, I might have missed this. Where were the teen panelists from? Were they from Atlanta, or...?
They were from local schools, so, yeah, the Atlanta area.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really excited. They were able to go through the
through the exhibit
hall, and were able to
they
get
some
books.
They got lots of swag.
Yes.
It's cool too to have the comments and thoughts of local teens, because that can really inform our knowledge of what our community wants.
I'm David Smith, branch manager at the Five Forks branch. I attended my first meeting as a member of the PLA Technology Committee. The team's charge involves helping public libraries improve services with technology and sharing information on technology innovation. Some of the public libraries represented by team members include Douglas County Libraries in Colorado, Nashville Public Library, Kalamazoo Public Library, Huntington Beach Library, and Durham County Libraries. Until July 2018, the team will be working on a project to develop a resource for sharing knowledge about technology used in public libraries.
Hi, I'm Denise Osier, Community Partnership Coordinator and Adult Program Manager for the library. I was at the at ALA for the entire time, each day. My favorite part of it was... happened actually prior to it. I got a call from the vice president of the Association of American Publishers, and I was asked with one other person to select what authors would be invited to Atlanta. So we were submitted a list by all the major publishers, and we got to pick which ones I thought were, that the librarians would most enjoy. The other person on the committee was a publisher herself, and as well as the vice president of that. So that was extremely an extreme honor to be asked to do that, although I confess that I relied on our awesome selectors in the materials department, because these are all obviously books that are not out yet. And so I asked them also, I shared the list and asked them for their input and swore them to secrecy, because for authors, this was a big deal, So that was really fun. And then I was asked to MC a panel, one of the big events, the panel of five or six of these authors. And so I crazy fast read as many of these advanced readers copies as I could, so that when I introduced them, I could speak of them from firsthand knowledge. So that was a very great honor. Normally, I'm behind the scenes organizing author events, not up on the stage talking. So that was really fun. As far as what I most enjoyed during the actual conference was networking, because that's a part of my job, to look for both adult programs, because that's my focus on programming, but also to look for authors, be they children's or adult authors, because I do the Meet the Author program, no matter the age of the audience of that particular author. So I was doing that. So I met a lot of publishers, a ton of authors, and in fact, actually secured Elizabeth Kostaba there, talked to the publisher and talked her into it. I had read the ARC and sold them that we should be her second stop after the High Museum and the Margaret Mitchell House, and so she is. I also was looking for programming and secured Mark Pendergrast to do a program, City on the Verge, Atlanta and the Fight for America's Urban Future, because I'm trying to bring in some authors that may not be New York Times bestselling authors, but are nonfiction and or political. trying to expand what I'm doing. So literally got those two authors. I also networked with my friends at Peachtree Publishing that I had met before, and I'm probably going to invite John McCutcheon and his wife that one of our other speakers spoke about to come and possibly be this year's 2017 North Georgia Kids Read 2 authors. If that works out for me, that's what I'm shooting for. So I just had a blast and had a really great time meeting authors and securing them for the library and coming up with ideas and future partners.
My name is Casey Wallace, and I'm the training manager here at Gwinnett County Public Library. I think my favorite part of the conference was interacting with the vendors, which surprised me because I had been to PLA before as an attendee, and I wandered through the vendor hall, and of course the vendor hall is quite an experience in and of itself. It's like wandering into a three-dimensional game board or game show or something, because they all have their promotional stuff out, and it's more than life size and bright colors, and they're trying to get your attention to come talk to them at their booths and all that kind of stuff. But unlike the first time I got to wander through the vendor hall, this time I had a checklist of people I wanted to stop by that had to do with new projects and rollouts that are happening around us here at the library. One is Beanstack. I just out of my own curiosity wandered by. You know, we had set up a bunch of webinars with staff, and so I just wanted to say hello to them because you never know what they'll say that's new that might connect with something else. And in this case, I mentioned to them that we are getting BiblioCommons and that there might be a potential to use an API to connect the two. And I didn't put that together until I said hello to somebody and mentioned that we're doing something with a completely unrelated, in my mind, vendor. But so that was kind of a neat thing to pick up, and had the opportunity to meet BiblioCommons for a sit-down meeting with Keith Davis and Michelle Grice, and discussing our plans for rolling out BiblioCommons. That includes, you know, the nitty-gritty setup and staff training and stuff like that. But also you get the demonstration of all the high points of the product and why we're getting it, which you'll experience through training if you haven't had a demo already. In addition to that, talk to the people at SpringShare, because we use several of their products. AskGCPL was run through that, which is now the customer contact center. And we are now using LibCal, one of their other products, to manage our laptop carts and things like that. So had an opportunity to really get in somebody's face with a "how does this button work" question that I didn't have the first time I was in a vendor hall. So it's just neat to be able to do this behind the scenes stuff and to really get that personalized attention. You know, you don't always have that opportunity if you don't have that checklist, but I'm in a position where I did, and I appreciated being able to do that.
Hi, my name is Yulia Khadjeva, and I'm a public services librarian at the Lilburn branch. I had a fabulous experience at the American Library Association midwinter sessions. However, the most interesting session that I attended was a workshop for Libraries Transform. We discussed the Howard Institute approach for libraries opening outwards towards the communities and how to get involved, how to engage. We had to come up with different statements, the because statement. We worked in groups, so some of the statements were like, because libraries transform lives, because libraries transform communities, because libraries give you the opportunity for lifelong learning, because libraries teach you for smart investment. So it was a very interesting and engaging experience. We also had the opportunity to share the experience of our libraries and what we are doing related to reaching out into the communities. And when I talked about our projects, most of them liked the Tower Garden project and our partnership with the Gwinnett Schools for the library cards. Everybody was really impressed with those two projects, and probably will have other followers, other libraries that will try those. Just a reminder, as part of the Libraries Transform communities, don't forget to celebrate National Library Week next week, April 9th through 15th. Make sure that we share that with your staff and share that with our customers. At that meeting, they announced the NASA project, NASA at My Library. NASA will select 75 libraries and will supply them with NASA STEM kits, backpacks, financial resources, training, and partnership opportunities over a four-year term from May 2017 through December 2020. The STEM kit includes a telescope, a microscope, some samples, robotic pieces, tablets, and other activities. I'm excited that our library applied for that project, so fingers crossed, hopefully we're going to get it. I also enjoyed the vendors. The most impressive part gadget that I saw was the virtual reality medium. It's the some sort of a medium where the augmented reality adds cues onto already existing real world, and computer graphics are embedded into the real world, and ideally the human mind would not be able to tell the difference between computer-generated images and the real world. So you're given some goggles, you're given a couple of like remote controls, and it's like a four-dimensional reality that you go everywhere you turn, up, left, right, down, behind, you can see some virtual reality. And for example, I chose space. You can see the stars, the planets all around you. You have the feeling that you're floating there. You're part into the space. And then with those remotes, you can choose different graphics, different tools, and you can create your own picture, device feeling. It was really a blast. It was a great experience. And I was really excited to stop at Comprise and Biblioteca, our vendors, and check what's the latest with them. With Biblioteca, I had the opportunity to see our upgraded menu, how it will look like. I had the opportunity to play, and I was really impressed that it has the menu in Bulgarian. So all my Bulgarian friends are really excited to see what we are doing in the library, and if they come to the library, that they'll be able to check out and use our library without any assistance. So that was my experience.
All right. Does anybody else have any final thoughts that they'd like to, that they didn't get to say in their little segment?
I will say that some of the most value-added information I get from a conference is just chatting with the person in the seat next to me. Making those informal connections. We've gotten several good ideas from what other libraries are trying and doing. And so you just never know who is sitting next to you and what cool thing their library is doing unless you go ahead and socialize and make the effort to chat with people.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this when we've done other podcasts like this of people going to conferences, but it's always nice, it's sort of satisfying when you hear the go to these sessions and say, well, we've already been doing that. So you can kind of see that we are at the cutting edge of things, and we've even got even further over the last few years of really pushing that envelope. So it's nice to hear that there are obviously new things that you're going to learn how to do things, but we are quite a bit ahead on a lot of things.
One of the things that stuck with me, the event we were at fell on Inauguration Day, and it was quite political, but one of the keynote speakers said that libraries are apolitical, but that doesn't mean, that's not a point of view. We are extremely political in that we offer a space to everyone, and that we are apolitical, and that kind of stuck with me a little bit, enough that I actually mentioned it in a meeting this morning, and got a nice response to it.
All right, thank you, everybody, and I'm glad to hear everybody learned a lot of stuff, and I hope people learned a lot from hearing this conversation.